Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Knowing Christ Ministries half hour, or as we like to think of it, the 30 minutes during which we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God Almighty. From my earlier broadcasts, you know one of my goals was to have a series discussing the history and lyrics of hymns. I had been praying for someone to come forth and provide us with some musical talent, but since none has come forth, we're just moving ahead, as you've heard me say. Now, for those of you who may be wondering why I asked for someone to come to sing or play the music behind one of the hymns and just don't play a pre-recorded track from, say, YouTube or a CD, for example, the lyrics to the hymns we're discussing in this series are off copyright, which means I can use the words. However, each time an artist records the music with these words, it's their musical arrangement and recording that actually comes under new copyright laws. So that's why I'm prohibited from including them, because I would be infringing on somebody's copyright without paying for royalties. So we're just doing lyrics for right now, again, unless somebody comes forth and contacts me and says, hey, I want to sing, in which case I'd say, wonderful. Now, some of you know I'm very partial to the lyrics and hymns. They make me stop and think of how blessed we are to have our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and literally with us 24/7. And as I've mentioned before, I listen to Southern gospel music all day long on streaming audio, and probably about 75% of it is all wonderful recordings of hymns. As I mentioned in our first session when I did the worked on the hymn Precious Lord, when I hear the words like, Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn, through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light, take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. Well, when I hear words like that, I literally stop whatever I'm doing and I pause to reflect. There are so many times we all feel so weak, so defeated, and our precious, precious, precious Lord is right there for us with his hands outstretched to take ours. I truly do get overwhelmed. And I get much stronger, actually. I feel at peace. And as I mentioned, our first weeks on hymns, we went through this hymn, Precious Lord, Take My Hands. Well, then 2 weeks ago, we discussed Just a Closer Walk with Thee and how we all pray for the Christian maturity to have just that one-on-one time, that quiet, mature, closer walk with the Lord. And yes, my dogs are even piping in too on this topic. Now, last week we discussed the hymn, How Great Thou Art, which we declare, of course, we can see clearly. And I remind you, this is based on Psalm 92, verse 5, that everything is a gift to us from God. All comes from him. There is no other way to say it. What a glorious, glorious, glorious gift everything around us is. What a blessing he has given us. The fingerprinting of God is all around us daily, including giving us his firstborn son to die for our redemption. Now, can you fathom the love expressed to you and felt for you by the Lord God? Like Ballberg expressed when he originally wrote a poem that served as the basis for the hymn and was later translated by Hine, I can scarcely take it in reality. I'm more than simply overwhelmed. I'm speechless. And finally, I know that when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Well, today we're going to discuss the history background in general, and in general rather, discuss the lyrics to In the Garden. Now, I have to preface our discussion on this particular hymn. In the Garden was actually the impetus for our entire series on hymns. As I've mentioned, I listen to hymns and Southern Gospel all day, virtually every day. It's one of the ways I stay immersed in the Lord and his love, and I'm reminded every moment of the day that he is with me, he loves me, and that I am with and love him. And when I started thinking of what a privilege it is to be with a God, with the very Lord of the universe, the very creator of all, who cares for me and focuses on me, who calls me his own, on a one-on-one basis, 24/7, as if I'm his only creation. So with that in mind, I was listening to In the Garden one day, what I was doing, like I do with when I hear a lot of these hymns, and I thought again, what an amazing, amazing privilege to walk in the garden with him, to have that special one-on-one time and have him tell me that I am his own. And so I started wondering if others had that same particular mindset, or if hymns were just music, something to sing at church and then put the hymnal down and go on with life. Or do those words really mean something to y'all? Do they have the same impact to you as they do to me? Do these words stay with you? And so, as I said, this theory was born. Now, In the Garden does have its scriptural basis in John chapter 20, when Jesus appeared to Mary following the crucifixion when he rose on the third day and the tomb was empty. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I also want to do a brief commercial for someone whose work I'm going to quote from now. Warren Shiver writes about the history and background of a lot of hymns. And for those interested, I suggest you purchase his book, 104 of My Favorite Hymn Stories. Volume 1 cost $14.95. And the second book, which is Volume 2, costs $16.95. Or you can get both of them for $25, which is what I'm trying to do now. And actually, Shiver is who I get a lot of my information for this series from. So anyway, Shiver quotes John chapter 20, starting with verse 17, saying, reading, John saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Mary going to the tomb of Jesus the first Sunday after crucifixion and finding the tomb empty was sorely grieved. She was already in deep shock from the crucifixion, the burial, and the loss of her Lord. But when Jesus spoke to Mary 3 days later, she went immediately to tell the disciples that Jesus was alive. And of course, that's been our commission ever since. Now, Shiver continues to quote the author of the hymn, Austin Miles himself, as you've heard me quote some of these writers themselves as well. He says, on one day in April of 1912, I was seated in the dark room where I kept my photographic equipment and also my organ. I drew my Bible toward me and opened it to my favorite book in chapter John, chapter 20. I don't know if this was by chance or by the work of the Holy Spirit. I will let you, the reader, decide. And that's the story of Jesus and Mary in John 20, had lost none of its power and charm. It was though I was in a trance as I read it that day. It seemed to be part of the scene. I became a silent witness to that dramatic moment in Mary's life when she knelt before her Lord and cried, Rabboni! I rested my hands on the open Bible, and I stared into the light blue wall. As the light faded, I seemed to be standing at the entrance of a garden, looking down a gently winding path shaded by olive branches. A woman in white with head bowed, hand clasping her throat as if to choke back her sobs, walked slowly into the shadows. It was Mary, and she came unto the tomb, upon which she placed her hand. She bent over to look in and ran away. John, in a flowing robe, appeared looking at the tomb. Then came Peter, who entered the tomb, followed slowly by John. As they departed, Mary reappeared, leaning her head upon her arm at the tomb. She wept. She turned herself. She saw Jesus standing there, and so did I. I knew it was he. She knelt before him with arms outstretched and looked into his face, crying, Rabboni. I awakened in sunlight, gripping my Bible with my muscles tense and nerves vibrating under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I wrote as quickly as the words could be formed, the lyrics exactly as it is sung today. That same evening, I wrote the tune. It is sung today as it was written in 1912. Now, a little bit more background on Austin Miles. He was actually a pharmacist turned hymn writer and church music director. He was also an amateur photographer. Now, one day in March, while waiting in his dark room for film to develop, Miles had that profound experience, as we just mentioned a moment ago, in which he saw an incredible vision of Mary Magdalene visiting the empty tomb. He saw her leave the tomb and walk into the garden where she met the master and heard him speak her name. And it's said that when Miles came to himself, his nerves were vibrating and his muscles tense, and the words to the new song filled his heart and his mind. And, of course, we just talked about that. That's exactly as it was written then, as well as the music, is what we know today. Now, In the Garden was recorded on an album by Perry Como in 1950. It was sung in the closing scene of a 1984 film, Places in the Heart, and it continues to be sung by countless artists, some of whom I've put up on our Facebook page for this past week, including Alan Jackson, Brad Paisley, and even Elvis Presley. So let's look at the lyrics. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So let's take this stanza by stanza. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Now, I know we just talked about this referencing scripture and Mary. Now, can you even imagine the joy she felt when Jesus revealed himself to her, and she recognized him as the Lord she thought that had been lost, had been crucified, had been killed, had been buried in that tomb. They didn't know about resurrection at that point. They didn't know that he would actually be fulfilling the prophecies, even though he said he would, that the temple would be built and destroyed and rebuilt in 3 days. They had no understanding that he was talking about himself when Jesus talked about the temple. So the joy, the incredible, incredible joy she must have felt. And to know that he revealed himself to her first. That's a joy that none other, absolutely none other, could have possibly ever known. But here's the thing. We all come before him alone. We may be with others in church or in a prayer group setting. But ultimately, when we're before him, it's a one-on-one meeting. Because your relationship with him is your own. And he relates to you based on that. And he also does tell you that, as I mentioned, as to why this hymn started the entire series for me. But no matter what else is going on in the world, you are not being overlooked. That he is with you 24/7. You are his own. You are a child of God. Imagine that. I mean, just really try and wrap your arms around what that means. A child of God. Do you know what that means? Do you really understand what that means? We are mortal, granted, but our soul is immortal. And we live on for eternity with him. Living throughout eternity. With whom? Our neighbor, our best friend, our worst enemy? Maybe, maybe not. But one thing we are assured of is that our eternity is with the Lord. Our eternity is with the Lord of the universe, the creator of all. Again, I'm overwhelmed. Now, I also believe the hymn discusses the morning hour, not only in reference to Mary arriving at the tomb early in the morning, but because this is, to me, again, I'm giving you my interpretation, it's a beautiful reminder that starting the day on such an intimate level with the Lord is an amazing opportunity that most of us miss as we rush out of bed, hurrying to get ready for work or to let the dogs out or read our emails or Facebook messages and so forth. We don't take the time to commune one-on-one, to walk in the garden, even if that garden's in our mind, to walk in the garden with the Lord. And now, more than ever, we really need to start our days in deep prayer and conversation with the Lord. Which brings us to the next part of that. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with, and he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So, can you even possibly imagine a sweeter voice than his? The hymn states the voice is so sweet that even the birds stop their singing. Now, we look to the sound of a mother's voice as the sweetest sound for a baby. Our spouse's voice is the sweetest sound as we are older. But the voice of the Lord? Can you even begin to imagine how sweet that sound is? And to be talking to you, one-on-one, taking the time, not in a hurried conversation, not rushing off, just walking through the garden, one-on-one, and talking as he's calling you by name and calling you his own. How sweet is that sound? How that has got to be the sweetest sound that we can't even begin to fathom. Because I have to admit, I have an incredible imagination, but I can't even fathom the sound of his voice. Now, we have references on the sound of his human voice based on individuals who have played him in the media or movies, but his real voice, his actual voice, the true voice of Jesus Christ himself. I can't even begin to imagine how sweet that sound will be. And for him to use that voice, walking together one-on-one in the garden, when he calls me his own, nope. I'm sorry. I can't imagine it. But the wonderful truth is, whether I can imagine it or not, that is my reality. His sweet, wonderful, incredible voice, the indescribable, calling my name, calling me by name, and calling me his own. Unbelievable. And truly, the joy, just sharing time, just spending time with the Lord like that is a joy none other has ever known. So there's nothing like that we can possibly compare it to based on our limited understanding and human experiences. Not just the joy of spending time with him, but the joy of hearing his voice at the same time, calling you his own. Nope. Sorry. Can't imagine it. I mean, seriously looking forward to it. And in my mind's eye, I experience that when I'm in conversation with him. We go through the garden. But the reality of what's awaiting me, nope, I absolutely cannot fathom it. I cannot fathom that experience. I can't fathom the experience that Mary had. But it's available for you, not just me. It's available for everyone. So with that, I invite you to contact us with any other comments or questions you might have on this or any other show that we've done. And please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for welcoming us and enabling us to have a platform to spread your messages and how your message can be applied to our lives here on this earth, our current home away from your permanent future, from our permanent future home in the heavenlies, walking one-on-one with you in the garden and hearing your sweet, sweet voice. Father, we ask for your blessing as we listen to the stories and history behind some of the truly wonderful music and praise and worship music written to glorify you, for truly how great thou art. We thank you for always being there to take our hands and lead us home. We pray that others feel drawn to come to you and reach out their hands as well, finding safety, security, and peace, and faith in knowing you are there to lead them home as well. And it's in your ever-blessed name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want to thank you for listening to us today. If you'd like more information on speaking engagements, to have us visit your church or organization, please email us at info@knowingchrist.com. We also offer biblical counseling locally and throughout the world via Skype to individuals or couples. For updates and invitations to new shows, please visit our Facebook page and like us to stay in the know. I usually use our Facebook page to announce the broadcasts we're doing and what's scheduled for any particular week or series, along with times we'll be broadcasting. So especially having the app to interact with us, you need to like us and make certain you check back to that page regularly, because if the Facebook algorithm doesn't generate our postings on your news feed, it means you haven't been checking back with us often enough. Essentially, they will show you news feeds from pages that you seek to view often. It's just like when you interact with a friend more frequently than some others, you're more likely to see posts from that friend on your newsfeed. Well, it goes for the pages that you visit too. So don't just, you know, go occasionally to our page. Please go frequently, like us, and it's only if you like us that you'll actually see the newsfeed on your, or our posting on your newsfeed. So don't just even go there to take a peek, which is great if you do, but please make sure you like us. If you don't like us, you won't see any of our postings on your newsfeed. It's as simple as that. And of course, we use our Facebook page to reach you in other ways. Our publications, including the books we've talked about on a lot of our series, God, Marriage, and Illness, The God Prescription, can be ordered off of our Facebook page or Amazon. And, of course, donations to our ministry can also be made directly off of our Facebook page as well. And I want to remind you that our app, Knowing Christ Ministries Track, is available for free download for both the iOS and Android platform. There's a short 15-minute broadcast from several weeks ago that can help you find, download, and use the app. I strongly suggest you actually locate that and listen, then find and download and use the app. I have that pinned to the top of our Facebook page for Knowing Christ Ministries, so you should be able to find it with no problem. I love hearing from people that that listen to our shows, and the app actually offers a preset option within the app itself, and the broadcast explains how to access it, to an email already addressed to us, again, from right within the app. So all you do is need to add text to the message and send it off to us. So with that, I invite you to join us next week, and we'll discuss another hymn. But until then, please remember, it's not what you know, but it's who you know. This is Dr. Danielle West for Knowing Christ Ministries saying, may Christ continue to bless you richly. Have a blessed week, my friends.